celebrating the Year of Indigenous Languages with the Department of Arts and Culture and 702, live from the cradle of humankind.
8:38, you're listening to Weekend Breakfast. It's a gorgeous Saturday, the 12th of October. And as you heard in the promos, we are celebrating the Year of Indigenous Languages, specifically with the Department of Arts and Culture, taking a look at South African literary classics as well. Before we delve into that, on the line with me is author Zulu Mathabo Zulu. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Zulu, you wrote the Sesotho Mathematics Dictionary. And, you know, I think it's, you know, within the context of the conversation that we're having, you know, what's your take essentially on the state of indigenous languages in the literary space in South Africa? Are we on our way to doing our constitution justice, right? Or our goals justice?
No, thank you very much. And also greetings to your audience. Yes, I think that, you know, indigenous languages are extremely important.
Yeah.
And if we can move in the direction of, you know, making it a constitutional imperative so that these indigenous languages are part of, let's say, the official curriculum, for example, I think that will bring a lot of justice to our country because language is not just for it's not just a medium of communication, but it's also a bank of strategic knowledge,
you know, exactly,
which is the reason why the United Nations recognizes this year as the International Year of Indigenous Languages, because they have found that language has got a lot of strategic resources in terms of history, in terms of language, in terms of identity, in terms of reconciliation, making people live together in harmony, and also in terms of economic development. I'll just give an example.
Please
do. If you look in South Africa here, you know, people who come from outside, let's say from Nigeria, West Africa, and stuff like that, they come here, you know, have nothing. And then within a short space of time, they have a small spaza shop, they make big business, and they become very successful. And he finds maybe a South African has got a business degree, you know, maybe from a school of business. But he finds that they are not really that successful as the other guys. The difference is the culture. Because, you see, the other people have the enterprising culture. That's very important.
Yeah,
so the enterprising culture is more powerful than, let's say, a verbal knowledge about any discipline.
Exactly.
So language is very key to that.
And you know, you've spoken about I like the example that you made. You've also touched on the idea of strategic knowledge that is that language holds, right? And that how important it is to pass language on, pass down languages on, just from that perspective. In your research of African cultures as well, you know, in terms of writing systems and scientific systems that we don't celebrate or understand or even know about, just give me some examples of, you know, systems that would be so useful to us in our contemporary times, which are overlooked and not not utilized to their full capacity or capability.
Oh, absolutely. So, for example, let's just make a very trivial example. So let's take something like mathematics. Like I've written that book, you know, it's a sort of dictionary of mathematics. So if you look at the numbers, let's say very simple thing, like from 1 to 10 in the English language,
We
actually find out those numbers are actually not even English in origin. They're actually German, you know, which is where those words come from. So let's take number 8, for example. And if you analyze what 8 means in the English language, it basically means for twice. And that's where it comes from the German language. In Sesotho, 8, which is Robedi, it means 10 minus 2, because Robedi means Uroba Tepedi.
Yes.
The same in Zulu and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is that that is a very sophisticated mathematics, what we call, you know, additive mathematics, subtractive mathematics, and it can help students when they do things like science, engineering, and stuff like that. Because we've got something called recursive systems, you know, and those engineers use those concepts when they build television, they build engines, when they build ATM. Like, I'm an engineer myself.
Yes.
So one of the companies I work for is a company called NCR. NCR is a company that makes ATM machines. When you go to an ATM machine, you will see the letter NCR, and that stands for National Cash Register.
Yeah.
So they hired me to develop their system there so that we can protect information there. So language is very key because it reminds us of the knowledge that was there before. And another example is our language also has got writing systems, for example. You know, there's a myth that Africans do not have a writing system. You know, when they
grew up just thinking everything of ours is premised on oral history and passed down orally, and that's it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. Actually, we actually have a very vibrant literary culture. You see, if you listen to the Basotho, they talk about something called ditima, right? Ditima is a visual system of writing, like the recording ideas using pictures and symbols. You see that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And in fact, there's a archaeological discovery that was made in Cape Town, where they found in a cave called Blombos, right? They found these eggshells. And these eggshells have got writing on them, but they haven't been able to decipher the meaning of the writing. You see? And in terms of carbon dating, and that's more than 70,000 years ago. So that's an oldest writing system, even older than Egypt, older than anywhere. In fact, here is an interesting thing. You know, English people who were telling us that our ancestors didn't know how to read and write, they actually don't have a writing system. Did you know that? They never invented the writing system.
And let's talk about the current writing system that we are used to and that we've grown up in.
That's right, the ABCD, right?
And the genesis of that is what?
That's right. So the ABCD is actually a Latin script. So it came to England via the Roman conquest.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's interesting, when you do more research about this Latin script, you find that it actually was derived from Egypt, from the hieroglyphics. Right, because hieroglyphics is a system that has got alphabetic as well as logographic system. Logographic system would be similar to, let's say, Chinese and stuff like that.
Yeah, you see?
The logographic system. So what I'm saying is that the writing system that we're using today, that we take for granted, that is attributed to Europeans when they conquered South Africa here, is actually based on the intellectual achievements of the African ancestors who have gone before us.
You know, and what you're saying is so pertinent, Zulu, is that understanding our history, understanding this context, one is able to root one's identity in a new and very profound sense of pride, right? Because there's often, when we talk about literature and literacy in our indigenous languages, there's a sense of feeling uprooted, feeling as though, how do we take ourselves and reimagine ourselves in this contemporary context, and almost, I don't want to may say the word, make yourself relevant, but in that way, or competitive, but it feels as though we're trying to leapfrog and catch up when in effect we were fully present within this literary moment, you know. Let's talk, run me through, that's just a process of when you're writing the Sesotho Mathematics Dictionary.
Yes.
What was the work that went into creating that dictionary? Because, of course, speaking of bringing our indigenous languages firmly into contemporary times in the 21st century, when we talk about education and being able to learn various subjects in one's own, in one's mother tongue, often the argument is, no, but there are various concepts, there are various phrases, words, languages, etc., that haven't been developed, but none of this happens by chance. It is a concerted effort, right? It is a job that someone is mandated to do, or one decides to undertake. So the logic or the thinking for you behind developing the Sesotho Mathematics Dictionary, and tell me about that journey of creating it.
Yes. Mm. And you made a very interesting point when you were talking about catch-up versus being present. You see, I like that part. Because you see, my mother died when I was very little, so I had to leave Johannesburg to go and live in the Free State. And this is where I came in contact with the indigenous mathematical systems in the Free State. And I actually found that mathematical systems have been there long before the advent of the Europeans in South Africa. And so what motivated me was to preserve this knowledge so that when those people pass on, at least I have that knowledge, then I can pass it on to the new generation today. So that was really the basis of the motivation in writing the dictionary. But also, yeah. I think, because I lived in exile, so I spent most of my time in Canadian universities. Mm-hmm. And every time we were discussing mathematics, they would always describe it as something that comes from Europe. And they would say something like, Africans did not make any contribution to mathematics. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I said, you know what, I'm going to write a book that will respond to this. So that's another thing that inspired that book, the Sesotho Dictionary yeah. of Mathematics. And actually, I found that mathematics originates on the African continent. You know, mm-hmm. you look at a great European mathematicians like Fibonacci, for example. So Fibonacci learned mathematics in Africa here. Quite interesting, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Pythagoras, yeah. he came to study mathematics for something like more than 22 years. And it was his teacher, Thales, who said to him he must come to Africa to study mathematics because his teacher also had studied mathematics here. Now, coming back on the question of the journey,
yeah.
So then the idea then was that I first thought that maybe what I needed to do is to translate mathematics, let's say, from English language to the Sesotho language. But yeah. I then realized that, no, I don't need to do that because there are concepts already that exist in the language. Let's take a subject like, for example, calculus, right?
Yeah.
So calculus is a very sophisticated mathematical discipline, right? And so now, and that book writes calculus in Sesotho. And actually, I found that actually Basotho have these calculus concepts. I'll give an example. When it is raining, Basotho will say something like, Pula Iana, right? It is raining, fine. And then when the rain changes and begins yeah. to rain faster, they'll say, Inakasehata. So Asa means yeah. There's a rate of change, you see. So rate mm-hmm. of change is a calculus concept. Differential equations are based on instantaneous change of rate of change. You
yeah,
see what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I was able to teach those words and then build this dictionary around mathematics and including the idea of, let's say, integration, which is about area. You know, but yeah. we have got this word of Mosema. Mosema in Sesotho is to construct an area, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they also
uh-huh.
use Mosema to describe the magnitude or the area. To say, they could say something like, Pleke ena in kamisem in raro. See?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
and that concept of area, we use it in integral calculus.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that in as much as we are trying to leapfrog and catch up, but we don't really have to do a lot of catch up.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to do, we have to retrieve the concepts that have been lost, that have been buried. Like
yeah.
we were talking about strategic knowledge, right? Like languages of strategic knowledge. The
yeah.
concept of strategic knowledge appears in divination, for example, in divination bones. You know, in strategic taula. But so therefore,
yes.
the concept called lewa, right? That word lewa means a strategic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Zulu Matavo Zulu, thank you so much for your time. My goodness, this was supposed to be the briefest of chats. Clearly an impossibility. We are going to have to catch up again and talk again at length.
Okay.
I really, really appreciate chatting to you. Thank you so much.